In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This week is really a summary of Advent themes, rather than a prequel to Christmas that it might appear to be on first glance. The themes we've been hearing from Luke's Gospel of the tension between two poles, God's kingdom now, but not yet. Jesus' birth imminent and anticipated, as is his return at the end of time. God's kingdom is very near, even with you, but not quite yet. And our ideas about how the world works are challenged by the upside down and backwardsness of Jesus' teaching. Last becoming first, the most unlikely, unqualified, even undesirable folks being the ones who experience God with us first. Now, Mary's world was rocked for sure. The angel, just prior to our gospel reading, the angel had just appeared to her and told her that she would be the mother of God, even though she's young and unmarried. And right away comes our gospel today. Mary travels to be with her much older cousin Elizabeth, maybe for reassurance, maybe for commiseration about being the shamed ones. After all, Elizabeth had been childless, which at the time was considered a woman's fault. And that was shameful, because having children was the life purpose of women at the time. They were also one's insurance for old age. So Elizabeth's been living with shame for a really long time. Her whole married life, really. And now she's too old to have babies, and she's pregnant with John the Baptist. Now, Cousin Mary is young and innocent, but she surely would have known that her own pregnancy without marriage would have been shameful. One's too old, one's too young. One's shamed for being barren, the other one's shamed for being pregnant. Can't win, can they? So they meet at Elizabeth's house. And in Luke's telling of the story, they don't just speak, they sing. Now, he doesn't use the word sing, but the form of the words is poetry, song. It's not prose. It's like a musical where people just periodically start breaking into song. I suppose Luke writes it that way. Well, it might just be that he's trying to get across something that's important, but really too hard to get right with just concepts and words. Something too fundamental, or perhaps too dangerous for words. See, these two babies, John the Baptist and Jesus, will change everything. And one of the supreme ironies of Luke's gospel is that the author starts out his gospel sounding like he's going to explain how this all happened to be. How these people, John the Baptist, and Mary, and Joseph, and Jesus, and all the rest of them, aren't wild-eyed zealots. They're not terrorists bent on producing chaos in the Roman Empire. And Luke explains it really, really well. Until Elizabeth and Mary open their mouths. And we hear political reversal. The mighty are thrown down from their seats. The humble poor are exalted. Rich and powerful will get what they deserve. Dangerous, dangerous talk when you're at the bottom of the social ladder among such hated people as a Jew in the powerful Roman Empire. Dangerous, in the same way that the gospel songs the slaves at cotton fields in the U.S. used to sing about being free. Dangerous like the civil rights protest songs in the 1960s, we shall overcome. Dangerous like the protesters in Leipzig and Far East Germany, who sang every week at Box Church of St. Nikolai over several months. They went from a few hundred at first to 300,000, better than half the population of the city. And South Africa during apartheid. Singing together especially can be an act of protest, an affirmation of solidarity. It is even an enactment of what's sung about. This is really subversive stuff. And it's what Mary was called to be and do. This was her unique contribution to God's work in the world. And contrary to what you might pick up in Sunday school or elsewhere, Blessed Mary, meek and mild, doesn't quite square with the rather subversive proclamation of that song known as the Magnificat. Something to consider is whether Mary was the first one asked to bear the Son of God. Did she have a choice? Did God send the angel Gabriel to his beloved? Was there no reply? Did they say no? Did everyone else just take a giant step backward? Was she maybe the first one who said yes? Mary was called to this particular life, just as we're called not to physically give birth to God in human flesh, but somehow to do the same thing, to bear Christ in the world. The poet Denise Levertov has a poem called The Annunciation, and in that she muses on the call of God in all our lives. She knows, aren't there annunciations of one sort or another in most lives? Some unwillingly undertake great destinies, enact them in sullen pride, uncomprehending. More often in those moments when roads of light and storm are open from darkness in a man or woman, are turned away from, in dread, in a way of weakness, in despair, and with relief, ordinary lives continue. God does not smite them, but the gate is closed. The pathway vanishes. In the Middle Ages, the mystic and theologian Meister Eckhart wrote, "We are all meant to be mothers of God. What good is it to be if the eternal birth of the divine Son takes place unceasingly, but does not take place within myself?" We remember that between times story. Between Mary's agreement, be it done as you said, to the angel, and the reconciliation of all things to God at the end of time. So in what particular ways are we as individuals and as a community called by God to bear Christ in the world? How do we smuggle Jesus into a society which, like that of the Roman society 2,000 years ago, is hell-bent on preventing that kind of nonsense about last being first, care for the widow and orphan, and the undeserving, marginalized folks? With whom do we share these annunciations? Whether they're clear and shocking as a messenger or an angel showing up, or subtle, easy to miss or ignore, as Levertov describes. Which are the songs that express our hope, strengthen our resolve? As we await the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ in ourselves and his coming at the end of time. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation.